Let me speak to the man who wants to be the DUP MP for East Belfast, Gavin Robinson. Gavin Robinson, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure having you on, Gavin. Thank you for joining us. If you become MP for East Belfast, your critics will say you couldn't beat Naomi Long without the help of Mike Nesbitt.
I've been quite relaxed about the commentary around PACs and the quest for a PAC for many months now. And when I was selected as a candidate in November, I put myself forward as a Democratic Unionist candidate, and that's exactly how I'm going to fight this election. The fact that the Ulster Unionist Party want to row in behind my vision for East Belfast and the potential for a Unionist in East Belfast to be a part of a much bigger picture in Westminster in the context of a hung parliament deliver for the people of Northern Ireland, that's a positive message, and that's something that I'm glad they're happy to endorse.
Well, Gavin, obviously your leader, Mr. Peter Robinson, felt you couldn't beat Naomi Long, and you must have felt that you couldn't beat Naomi Long without the Unionist, the Ulster Unionist candidate dropping out.
Not at all. Since 2010, there have been four elections. And in each of those four elections, the Democratic Unionist Party have been the largest party in East Belfast. And that's a reflection of the confidence that people have in us. That's a reflection of the confidence people have in our message and our ability to represent. And more than that, it doesn't matter which party you're a member of in East Belfast. People recognise that East Belfast was always going to be a two-horse race. So that's why I've been relaxed about PACs, whether there is one or there isn't one. I'm delighted that people are happy to endorse me. But if we were to go forward without a PAC, the message was already getting through to people that if you wanted to see change in East Belfast, if you wanted strong unionist representation in East Belfast and you wanted to be part of a bigger picture, then there was only one candidate you should vote for. That message was already getting through. And so whilst there is an overall picture in Northern Ireland for the benefits of a PAC, then remember, this is a response, not because of what we thought could happen at the election. This is a response to the request from people, from our electorate, and that's who we are here to represent. They want greater cooperation within unions, and they have asked us, can we work together where it matters? And so that is what the unionist leaders have delivered, and that is something that I am encouraged by, because there is a growing acceptance that in East Belfast, if we want to see strong representation, then people will go in behind me.
Well, Gavin, you were seen when you were a Lord Mayor as a man for all of the people, and you did actually get a lot of praise when you were Lord Mayor. Now you're under the umbrella of what most people who are contacting this programme and people who are running commentaries who we've had on, and even people who are reading this morning, they're saying you're part now of a sectarian headcount. That's what you're buying into. Gavin Robinson, the former Lord Mayor, who gave the impression he was a man for all of the people, is now down to the dirty game of a sectarian headcount.
Well, there's nothing dirty in promoting the political ideal of unionism, and I don't think it is a sectarian headcount at all. It's a political aspiration. I believe in the union. My main opponent doesn't. I believe in the union. Nationalists and Republicans in Northern Ireland don't. But I believe in the union because of the benefits that it brings for all of the people of Northern Ireland. So there's no disparity between me being a Lord Mayor, having represented the entire city and all of the people, to me seeking to represent East Belfast and all of the people who live and work in East Belfast, who love East Belfast and who have a passion for East Belfast.
But so if your argument,
I don't
if your argument, Gavin,
between those two, Frank.
Gavin, if your argument's followed through, then the SDLP should form a pact with Sinn Féin, and Sinn Féin would be getting their additional votes and the SDLP would be getting their additional votes, wherever their advantage is, on the back of a sectarian headcount.
You can't follow that argument through, and it's not a sectarian headcount. As I said, it's an ideal of unionism as opposed to nationalism, or unionism as opposed to republicanism, but you can't carry it through because Sinn Féin refused to take their seats. So within that nationalism and republicanism sector of politics, there's a choice between having a representative or not. So it's not something that can be entirely brought to the other side.
But no, but the abstentionism argument is a red herring there, because the bottom line is you've got into bed with the UUP to ensure that more unionists get into Parliament. So if the SDLP get into bed with the Sinn Féin group to ensure that more nationalists are elected, whether the nationalist stroke Republicans are elected, whether or not they take their seats is irrelevant. It's breaking Northern Ireland down into the Tigs vote for one and the Prods vote for the other.
I think it's very disappointing. That's how you've characterised it. The red herring or the folly of your argument is if a Sinn Féin member of Parliament is elected, they will not take their seat. They will not stand forward for people in Northern Ireland against votes like welfare reform as we did. They will not stand up for Northern Ireland in Parliament and be part of the bigger picture and make sure they are advocating on behalf of people in Northern Ireland, they refuse to do so. So it's not the same. It's not the same as encouraging somebody to go forward on a positive message from East Belfast, who will take, or from Northern Ireland, who will take our message to Westminster and get benefits for the people of Northern Ireland, for everyone in Northern Ireland, in that political arena.
And what do you say?
So it's not the same.
What do you say to Alban McGuinness, who makes the rather flippant, but you can understand the argument, suggestion that instead of having elections, we just base it on the census?
Well, I think that's a dismissal of what it is we're supposed to do. We are there to represent people. People have asked unionist leaders to cooperate. People have asked unionist leaders to work together. And that's exactly what has been achieved in four constituencies in Northern Ireland.
But in a democracy, it's about choice. You're limiting choice.
Well, I mean, I was selected by the Democratic Unionist Party. Naomi Long was selected by the Alliance Party. If you take that argument forward, we should have open primaries in constituencies. People shouldn't have a choice of me as the Democratic Unionist candidate or Naomi as the Alliance candidate. They should have a choice of who our party's candidate is as well. So that argument can be taken out to such an extreme. We'll be adding significant further layers to politics. But we represent the people, and the people have asked us to cooperate and work together. We have listened to that, and Ulster unions have listened to that. But look, I stand confident as a Democratic Unionist candidate, and as a candidate who is content that others are prepared to get behind me and endorse the message that we as a party have.
With regards to this deal that Peter Robinson and Mike Nesbitt have done, is it all advantage DUP, or is there some plus in it for the Ulster Unionists? The suggestion is that Tom Elliott might be a beneficiary from it. However, you seem to be really concerned, and most commentators don't understand this concern that you have for Nigel Dodds being on the ropes in North Belfast. So taking away the Ulster Unionist candidate in North Belfast, is that to get Nigel Dodds over the line against Gerry Kelly?
Well, actually, I mean, you've mentioned commentators quite often in this interview. People who have commentated on politics, cephologists, people that count the votes and make the predictions, have predicted that, and this is in the absence of any pact, have predicted that the only seat likely to change in Northern Ireland is East Belfast. And that's on the basis of our previous election results, that's on the basis of our current position and on current polling. So the ambition for unionists to cooperate is important because it's what people have asked us to do. And in terms of cooperation, this is the most comprehensive agreement there has been in Northern Ireland in 29 years. So when we go forward to the people, let's see how the votes fall on May 8th. And if unionist cooperation has shown to work, then I think this is a great starter for six. And I think unionists, not only those who vote, but the parties who represent those individuals, our parties, will have confidence in what we've done and be able to build on it further.
So just clear this up for me. Do you believe that Tom Elliott can win in Fermanagh South Tyrone?
Well, I think it is the closest seat in the whole of the United Kingdom, in the sense that in 2010 there were four votes in it. And if you remember back to that time, there were three counts of the ballot papers, and on no occasion did they get the same result. But they stopped counting after three times, and there were four votes in it. That was with an agreed unionist candidate, so it's all to play for in Fermanagh South Tyrone.
And Danny Kennedy, you know, what advantage is there for Danny Kennedy in Armagh and Uri?
Well, I think Armagh and Uri, and Uri and Armagh, has become an interesting seat for a number of reasons. One, because the sitting MP, Conor Murphy, is not standing again, and Mickey Brady certainly wouldn't have the same support as Conor, wouldn't be as well recognised, wouldn't have the same political grounding. But the SDLP seem to have an incredibly enthusiastic candidate there as well. So there is a potential for a split in vote, and there is a potential that a maximised unionist vote could seek to upset the apple cart in that constituency.
But the more we listen to you talk and the more we read into the analysis, the more you think that the DUP leader, Peter Robinson, has sold Mike Nesbitt a sectarian pup to get you into East Belfast.
It's not a sectarian pup, and I mean, I'm offended by that. I'm offended by the characterisation of that. And as I say, I have been incredibly relaxed about pacts. I've said that publicly. When I was selected in November, I stood forth positively with the progressive message for East Belfast as a Democratic Unionist candidate. And if others wish to back me, I'm incredibly encouraged that they are choosing to back me. And I hope that'll prove fruitful, not for me, not for the Democratic Unionist Party, but for the people of East Belfast.
And you don't feel that if you are victorious, that your victory will be tarnished?
Well, let's see how the votes fall, Frank, and let's see how significant the Unionist cooperation proves to be. If You'll be able to look at the results and you'll fall. They will fall to one side or the other. And a quick calculation will tell you whether the pact has been beneficial or whether success would have been there irrespective of that.
Gavin Robinson, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.